It is good to see you here in the Lord's house today. I'm glad that you've chosen to be here because that tells me that you have made a decision that even though it was the first day of the year, and even though it was a long weekend, and even though you've had a long week, you chose to be in the Lord's house. And I'm thankful for your decision and that you've joined with me to worship the Lord our God. Would you turn with me to James chapter 2, the second chapter of James? And as you find James chapter 2, I wondered, have you ever wondered about faith? I thought it was quite interesting that even one of our prayer requests this morning was about increased faith. Have you ever wondered about faith? Your faith? Have you ever doubted that you had faith? Have you ever wished you had more? You know, few things are more misunderstood than Christian faith. Few things. And yet, few things are more important. Do you agree? There are a few things that are more important than our faith. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, James chapter 2. We're going to read about faith. And this morning, it is my hope and my prayer that as I share some things with you, that it will encourage your faith, that it will stir up your faith, and I pray that God's Holy Spirit would increase your faith. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace and be warm and filled,' but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Interesting verse that follows there in verse 19. "You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Interesting passage, don't you think? It's got some things that we talk about as Christians to say, oh, well, all you need is faith, right? But then faith without works is dead? We're going to talk a little bit about faith today, and it is my hope and prayer that even just one thought about this faith, an active faith, will help you with your walk in 2021 like never before. So I pray, would you prayerfully hear as we move to talking about action faith. Would you pray with me? Father, your word is dear to our hearts. Help us not just to be hearers, but doers. That our faith would not just be of the mind, but that it would be of heart and body. That we wouldn't just have faith to believe, but faith to do. We're thankful for your word, Father. It makes all the difference as we hear and believe. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? There was a story about a young disciple who went to visit a very faithful elderly Christian. He had heard that this man had never lost his first love for the Lord. that he was a steadfast, faithful, loving Christian man who stood for God in every way. He walked up to this old man's house, which was out in the country, overlooking fields and forests and ravines and beautiful place. And he was sitting on the front porch with his dog. And as he sat down to talk to the man, he asked him, he says, "Sir, could you tell me why so many Christians zealously chase God in the first few years of their Christian walk and then somehow fall into complacency and wind up looking just like their neighbors who are not Christian at all?" The old man smiled and he said, "Well, let me just tell you a story." He said, "I was sitting on this very front porch quietly one day and a white rabbit ran across the front yard. Old Duke here jumped up and he started chasing that rabbit. He made such a fit." He said, the bellowing and the hollering and the barking and the howling stirred up the entire countryside. He chased that rabbit over the hills. He chased that rabbit down the ditches. And pretty soon, all the dogs in this county, it seemed, had joined in the chase. They saw him. They heard him. They jumped in and they began to chase that white rabbit. And they bounded, and they bellowed, and they hollered, and for hours the chase was on. But he said, after a while, he said, the dogs in the back began to give up. And they just began to just kind of fall out. He said, pretty soon, every dog except for old Duke here had left the chase, but Duke was on it. He chased until that rabbit finally went down a hole and could not be reached. And he said, "Young man, I want you to know that in this story lies the answer to your question." And the young man looked at him and he said, "Sir, I just don't understand what the connection between a rabbit chase and dogs has anything to do with my quest for God." And he said, "You fail to understand, young man, because you fail to ask the obvious question." And he said, "The obvious question, dear boy, is why didn't the other dogs continue the chase?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "The answer to that, little brother, is that they were following other dogs. They had never seen the rabbit." Friends, listen to me. There are a lot of people that are following all the other dogs, if you will. They follow pastors, they follow teachers, they follow preachers, they follow friends as they look to follow God that they've heard so much about and that they've read so much about. They have faith in their mind, they have faith in their heart. But they're following other people. Dear friends, I wonder, have you seen the rabbit? Have you seen God the Father? And if you have, can I ask you, if you have truly seen the Lord God in your heart and in your life, what would ever make you want to give up? Anything at all? Dear friends, when you've seen him, you keep the chase. Amen? Faith is a common denominator for all of us. Every person alive, every individual daily expresses faith in something. Nobody can live one single day without exercising faith in something. When you woke up this morning, you flipped a switch in full faith that what? Light would come on. I turned the water on with full faith and hopes that there would be hot water when I took a shower. When you got into your car and you turned the key, you had faith that it would start. When you put a letter in the mailbox, maybe that might not be a very good one to do. Every time you walk into a building, you are expressing faith in the architects that it won't fall down on top of you, right? Well, in each and every instant that you expressed faith, there was an action, flip of a switch, the turn of a switch, walking into a building, whatever it happened to be. You did something that actually put action to your faith. And You may have heard this. I've told this story a lot because it's such a great story. There was a great tightrope walker by the name of Blondine. Anybody ever heard of him? You may have. If you're not, you'll remember the story I've told before. But there are many legends told about the feats that he would perform. And one of the most often told stories was about the time that he was going to walk over Niagara Falls on a tightrope. You may remember that. Well, he did that, and he got the applause of all the folks that were there. And as he did so, he called out to the frenzied crowd and said, "Do you believe that I can do this again with a wheelbarrow?" And they all clapped and cheered, "Yeah." They said, "How many of you think that I can do it with a person in it?" And everybody clapped and cheered. Well, he looked down and found the man who was clapping the loudest and the most enthusiastically, and he said, "I want you, sir, to come get in the wheelbarrow." Well, he promptly made an escape. You know, it's one thing to say that you believe. And Blondine's approach there kind of brought it out. Sometimes what we say is not really what we believe. Sometimes our talk doesn't match our walk. You see, faith is not what we say we will do. Amen? Faith is not what you say that you're going to do. Faith is never something just to be talked about. It's something to be demonstrated in the way we live, in the things that we do. Paul Harvey said it. I love Paul Harvey when he was still around. Paul Harvey said, "If you do not live it, you do not really believe it." Anybody say amen? There's a biblical basis for that statement. And we just read it in James chapter 2, verse 18. He said, "You show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." I'm going to show you what I believe in by what I do. Believing is one thing, but do you have faith? Action-filled faith. I think that instead of calling it faith, a noun, we should be calling it faithing. That's the title of the message today. Faithing. Because you see, faith is not just a noun. Faith is a verb. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's what you actually do. Instead of faith, we should call it faithing, because faith is a verb. It requires action on your part. Every day, everyone places their faith in something or in someone. Faithing is the ultimate reflection of our belief. But your faith, dear friends, is only as good as the object you put your faith in. Amen? There's the problem. If you don't put your faith in something that is worthy of your faith, you're going to fail. That's why our faith in daily items can never begin to compare to faith in the one true and living God. Sooner or later, the mail system will fail you. Sooner or later, the electricity will not come on. Sooner or later, the hot water heater is not going to work. Sooner or later, the car battery is going to die. Sooner or later, a person will fail you. But the scriptures are very clear. The Lord our God will never fail you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I love Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Dear friend, you place your faith and your trust in the one who can provide for you, the one Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. It tells us what faith looks like. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Stop. Faith is what? The substance of things what? Hoped for. But also the evidence of things not seen. True faith in God brings a confident obedient to His words. You are obedient to His word. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the consequences, when we see what God's Word says and we trust what God's Word says, we do what God's Word says, no matter what we think might happen, we literally trust what God's Word says, that He is going to take care of us. You know, faith is described in that twofold way: substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Your faith, listen to me, your faith is the acting foundation that gives us the confidence to stand in Christ. Your faith is the confidence. It is your solid foundation that everything else can be built on. But if you don't have that, then like the Scripture says, you're building your house on the sand. In other words, dear friend, faith is the confidence of things that you hope for. And if you want greater faith, you need greater confidence. And this confidence is illustrated in the life of a man that I love to read about. It. If you've never read about a missionary named Hudson Taylor, you really need to go back and read his biography. It is a beautiful story. Hudson Taylor, born many years ago and one of our first missionaries, he was a missionary and he first went to China. And on his first trip back in that day, all they had was sailing vessels. And he was on this sailing vessel, and on his way, they went by what they called the Cannibal Islands. Go read about it. The Cannibal Islands. It was a group of people that had not been inhabited, and they, of course, literally would eat the people who came to the island. Well, as they went by, there was a lull in the wind of all the times, you can imagine. A lull in the wind, and the ship sat there and was drifting closer and closer and closer to the island of the cannibals. The cannibals saw the ship and had gathered out on the shore. They were all there with their spears and their bows and their arrows, and they were waiting for it just to get closer. And if you can imagine, they were waiting on their feast. The captain came to Hudson Taylor, and he said, "Mr. Taylor, I know that you are a Christian man." He said, "I'm going to ask you to pray for God's help." He said, "Would you please pray for wind that we could escape this island?" Hudson Taylor looked right at the captain and said, "I will, sir, if you will first set your sails." And the captain said, "I can't make myself a laughing stock to set sails when there's no breeze." Taylor said, "Then I will not undertake to pray for wind." Well, you can imagine. The captain called for sails to be set. Hudson Taylor went to his small cabin and began to pray. A few moments later, there was a knock at his door. Hudson Taylor said, "Who's there?" And the captain's voice said, it's I, your captain. And he said, "Yes, Captain, what can I do for you?" He said, "Are you still praying?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm still praying." He said, "Then you might want to stop. We've got more wind than we can handle." Friends, I'm going to tell you, there are so many times that we pray for wind, amen, but we won't set sail. We won't set our life to receive the direction and the blessing and the power of God. We call and we say, God help me, but we are not taking steps to move in the direction that we know God wants us to move to. We all need help. Every one of us. Pastors, preachers, teachers, laymen, wives, husbands, mamas, daddies, children, grandparents, every one of us need God's help because we falter and we fail. But we have power at our disposal. We all need that help for the Christian ideal, but it is God's gift of His Holy Spirit that empowers us for daily living. You don't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You won't do it on your own. Dear friends, we've got to put our sails up, amen? We've got to set things in motion so that God will work. I believe that there are many times that the Lord our God has not shown His power because we have not shown our belief. If we proceed in our own efforts, we're going to fail. But there is a transforming power available to us, to everybody who calls themselves followers of Jesus Christ. And it's called action faith. Action faith. And action faith is the key to unlocking the power of God. Not just believing, but acting on our belief. To receive this transforming power, we've got to open ourselves up to the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can do it. He's the only one who can send it. Never forget that the Holy Spirit works through acting faith. Not just because you say you believe it, but because you actually believe it and you're acting on it. Set your sails. Set your sails. So where does faith come from? I want to share this briefly with you. Where does faith come from? Faith is a gift from God, dear friends. I know you think, well, I need to grow my faith. You can't grow your faith. You will grow in faith as you experience God, as you are obedient to Him, and He responds to you. When you are obedient to God, God will show you what He's about, and your faith will be increased as a gift from God. You can set your sails. That's an act of faith. But to grow your faith, it comes from God. Paul clarified this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. This is what he said. Romans 10, verse 17, he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, where does faith come from? Hearing. And then it adds, hearing by the word of God. God, this is significant, people. This is something that you need to hold on to. And this is why I'm preaching this on day one or Sunday one of the new year. Because we need some encouragement. We need some stirring. There are two Greek words. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are two Greek words for that word. Word of God. Two Greek words translated word in the scriptures. Those two Greek words are one, logos and rhema. And a lot of times they're used interchangeably, but they are not the same. And this is what I want you to see the difference in this morning. Logos is described as the general word, the general knowledge of God. When God's word is read, this is the logos right here, the word of God. When I read it to you, and when I read to you from James chapter 2, 14 through 26, just a few moments ago, that was the logos. That is the reading. That is the word of God. Special. Unique. Of God. But just the logos by itself does not bring faith. In other words, you can look at the word, you can read the word, you can hear the word, but that's not what brings faith. It is hearing the word of God in the rhema. Now, let me explain that to you. You can have an understanding here, but if it's not here, what good does it do you? Let me look back and tell you from James chapter 2, verse 19. It said, you believe in one God, you do well. For the demons believe and tremble. Now let me ask you, is belief faith? Some say yes, some say no. The demons believe in God, and are they going to heaven? No way. They believe, but they don't have faith. You see the difference? They know the word of God. I'm going to tell you, I doubt that there's an entity in all this world other than God Himself that knows the Bible better than the devil. He loves to quote it, misuse it every way he can. But just because he has the word of God in his mind does not mean that he had the word of God in his heart. Do you see the difference, people? You've got the word, but what are you doing with it? This passage, when it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the rhema of God. Now let me tell you why that's so important. Logos is defined as the written word. Rhema is a specific word of God stirred in your heart. Are you with me? Rhema is that spoken, written word of God that becomes alive in you. Do you get it? This means yes. Listen, there may be a few less people out there, so you need to be a little more enthusiastic to help those that aren't here help your pastor. Rhema is the faithing of God's word. It's taking it from here to here to here, and then, dear folks, to here and here. Are you with me? That's Rhema, the spoken, intentional, given word of God stirred in your heart. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at the scripture up there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, who diligently seek him. You cannot please God without faith. Faith comes by hearing the general word of God, the Logos, and hearing by the faith and action of the word, the Rhema, which means that you take it from here and you put it in here. That's the difference. That's what makes the word of God powerful in somebody's life. That's why the seven sons of Sceva got whooped nearly half to death, because they used the name of Jesus to try to heal somebody from demons, and the demon says, Jesus we know, but who are you? They didn't have faith. They just used the name of Jesus, and they got torn asunder, the scripture says. They used the right words, but they didn't have Christ in their hearts. Faith comes by hearing the general word. Faith action comes from the Rhema, because without the Rhema, the scripture says the Rhema, it is impossible to please God. Not just the word, not just knowing, but doing something with it. Setting your sails before the wind has ever blown. You remember Peter, don't you? Big mouth, big man. Lots of trouble. Reminds me of so many Baptists I know. Preachers in general. As much or more than just the layman. Oh, Peter was in that boat and the storm was coming up. And you remember that the storm was about, and they saw Jesus out on the water, and they said it's a ghost. Do you remember the story? Peter said, Lord, if that's really you, he said, don't be afraid, it's me. And he said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come to you. Do you remember the story? Bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, Rhema. He said, come to Peter. Peter said, not going out there unless you tell me it's okay. And Jesus spoke a word into the heart and into the life of Peter. And he said, come. Peter got out and walked on the water. Yes, he took his eyes off the Lord, but listen, what did he do first? At first, he saw the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He got out and he walked on water like no other man has done except for Christ. Jesus spoke that word into his heart, and it stirred him to do more than just stay in the boat. He got out of his safety zone and he walked to Christ on the water. The word that Christ gave to Peter was the Rhema. It brought action faith. Not just, I believe I could do that, but here I come, Lord. Reminds me so much of a little child standing on the counter. And you say, come here, bud. And if you hadn't dropped them lately, they used to bail off, right? Coming right at you. You try that with an adult. They do that in exercises for team building these days, right? I mean, I guess they still do that, you know, where they have somebody stand up on the stage and fall into the arms and they catch them. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I weigh 240 pounds, and I'm not trusting any of you to catch me if I jump off this stage. But that's because I don't have childlike faith in you. But I do have faith in God. And if God says, Gary, jump, you know what I want to do? I want to jump. And it's hard sometimes in this world. It's hard sometimes in this place when so much seems to be going wrong. When there are so many reasons for people to say, oh, you got to be careful. You can't. I'm not saying be dumb with your health, but what I am saying, would you quit fearing this world and trust in Christ? Faith makes the difference. Beloved, through the Scriptures, you can come to know and you can begin to know about God. You can. And you can gain understanding and you can gain knowledge about Him. And dear friends, we are called to do that. We are called. He said, you read the Word, stay in the Word, meditate on it day and night. We need to read the Word. We are called to ingest it, God's Word. But only when the Holy Spirit comes in and is involved in your reading, only when the Holy Spirit gets into your heart, gets into your mind, and you begin to say, Lord, I think this is more than just written words. I think this is from you. And the Holy Spirit grabs you by the heart, and He grabs you by the Spirit, and it begins to burn and quicken in your soul His Word. That's when it becomes rhema. Action faith, because you believe. Into your heart goes the logos, and when God gets a hold of it, out comes the action faith, the rhema. If you are not meditating on God's Word, if you are not spending time in God's Word, if you never have time to wait on the Lord and listen to Him, then how can the Lord quicken His Word in your heart? Dear friends, I'm going to tell you, it starts reading. It starts by hearing. It starts by putting it in. But it is finished and it is completed when the Holy Spirit takes it and He bakes it in His own special way, and it comes out action faith, not just knowledge. What a difference it makes. Through faithing, that's how we mature. That's how we grow. Beloved, it's not easy out there in this marathon we call life. Amen? It's tough. We feel like giving up. We feel like quitting. Folks, we've got to push on. We can't stop. We can't quit. We've got to continue faithing with our Lord. We must persevere. And to help us in our faithing, to help us in our perseverance, we sometimes need to plant a stake, to plant a marker in our life, a marker that declares, yes, I have seen the Lord. I don't doubt it. I'm not just chasing the back end of the dogs in front of me. I saw the white rabbit, if you will. I have seen the Lord God. I have trusted the Lord God. I have seen Him face to face. I have trusted Him in my heart. I believe in Him, and I am not chasing after other people. I'm chasing after God because He is real, because He is mine, because He touched me. I know I was there because He has used me. I was there because He's quickened the faith in my heart, and I will not give up. If I persevere, it will be because of my action faith, because I trust God. I have seen Him face to face. And though there be no wind, though there be no help apparent, though there be no money in the bank, though there be no ability to overcome this disease, I know that I will trust the Lord my God, because I trust Him with action faith, not just here, but here, and I'm going to practice it here and here. Have you seen the rabbit? Or are you just chasing after the others? Fight the good fight, dear friends. Yes, this is the first Sunday of the year. I want to encourage you. I want to excite you. But I'm going to tell you, it can't and it won't happen unless you take the logos to the rhema. What a difference the Spirit of God makes. It's time to walk in faith. It's time never to be satisfied with status quo. It's time to continually seek to be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus, and that only occurs through His Holy Spirit. Have you lately prayed for more faith? Then, dear friends, let me tell you how it's done. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God that is brought alive in your faith. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you give us your Word. And so much more than that, you give us your Holy Spirit to understand, and we are empowered through your Spirit to understand the Word and use your Word. God, would you help us today not just to be faithing from our minds, but Lord, truly to be faithing in every part of us. And Lord, if you've got a destination for us, help us not to be saying, show me, show me, show me, but God, instead to say, God, I'm going to set my sails and you take me where you want me to go. We need your help, Father, to grow in faith.